fellowship this morning. We're thank God we're back to our regular schedule. And some of you 8 o'clock folks are just having a fit. Amen, amen. Last week we had service at 11:15. Now some of y'all were sitting here at 8 o'clock. Hey, that's all right, though. Just anxious to worship our great God in heaven. We are creatures of habit, and sometimes God knocks our schedule out of whack a little bit, and we've been bouncing around, and God is not through yet, though. Amen. Amen. We do need to pray. Thank you, Brother Buck, for that prayer this morning. Thank all the brothers for serving this morning. We know that there are those who right now are in the midst of a hurricane, and we know how that feels now. I truly know how that feels that we didn't know, and there's a lot of uncertainty. We know that some of them are our family and our relatives. Many of you have friends and family there, and so let's be in deep prayer for them, and we probably will have an opportunity to respond and help more than just prayer. We may be able to do some other things, and so it's been a very busy week, very busy past week, a lot of things have gone on. I thought it'd be a good time to get deeper into God's Word. I want you to study with me this morning in the book of Matthew, and we're going to exegete us to the time that we have allotted this morning. Exegete is simply to attempt to interpret, to expound on a text. I was picking up some signs yesterday, and sign man made a comment. He said, "Boy, the preacher's got something to preach about now, don't they?" I say, the preacher of God always got something to preach on. Yeah, he said all of this, all these things going on, they must be signs. Yeah, they are signs. That's a sign every day that God is alive and in control. But go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 24. I kind of want to come down there, but I'm going to stay up here. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. Oh, yes. Well, I really love the Lord. Yes, and you don't know what. Yes. Oh, yes, he gave me. And that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over. Yes, and you don't know what he's done. Oh, yes, he gave. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. Will and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. And that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Beginning at verse number 1, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away with his disciples. When his disciples came up, to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." In verse 3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus. The temple was the place where the Jews would come, which had a picture of the outer courts, the inner courts. This particular time was the second temple, the first being destroyed, located in Jerusalem. And it was a sight to see, a sight to behold, to see the temple. And Jesus often, his disciples often, even after they went to the temple, it was a place of the supposedly religious folks, the children of God. And it was the same place that some of you remember that Jesus got angry because they were abusing the temple. It was a physical place. As we come to this house that's dedicated to worship God. Now we are, the house is not the church. We are the church. But this place is dedicated. Our monies have been spent to erect this place to be dedicated to serving God. And when we come here as the church, it is a holy place. Yeah. And so Jesus got mad one time because they were abusing this place and doing business and doing it the bad way, stealing and cheating folk at the place that was dedicated to God. And I hope that when we come here to worship God, I hope that a sense of awe comes over us. And even there are things that we dare not do in the Lord's house that's been dedicated to the Lord. Yeah, so keep that in mind as we come here to serve God. Amen. You know, and I know I'm not one. I know it's not a temple in that we serve this place, but it's a place where we come to worship God. Amen. Yeah, so don't bring your meal to the Lord's house. You know, we're in here serving the Lord, and we, you know, don't. You know, I know my dad used to make us turn the radio down when we got close to the church building. You turn that radio off. You don't be listening to the radio. I was like, whoa, why now? But that's not the focus this morning. But listen to Jesus' disciples. His disciples came up and they pointed out the temple buildings to Jesus as if he didn't see it. As if he didn't know, as if it wasn't, and they were really pointing it out because they were impressed with the building. And let Jesus look at the temple. And Jesus already saw the temple. And then he said to them, well, actually he went to them, this was as they were there, and a little time passed, they go to the Mount of Olives, but the Mount of Olives stood in view of the temple. It was there in view, and they were on the mount, and you can see the temple from the mount. And Jesus, they asked, tell Jesus said that not one of these stones in this building will be left, that won't be torn down. They didn't understand what he was saying, but I'm sure they took note of what this beautiful edifice. This, what are you talking about? And when they got privately with him, they asked him, tell us, Jesus, when will these things happen? So Jesus was not impressed. He was not impressed by this building. He was not impressed by the temple. He was not in prayer. Matter of fact, at this particular point, notice this is in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is really disgusted because now the Pharisees, the high priest, everybody, Jesus knows that they're out to kill him. Just like they go to Matthew chapter 23, chapter previous to that. And there is this lamentation. And it's like a song, a poem. It's like Jesus is crying to God. And as this lamentation is listed in your Bible, it says, verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. It will be deserted. It's like it's prophesying. And when we get to chapter 24, it's like Jesus is disgusted and he prophesies to his disciples, look, you're looking at this beautiful, and I'm sick of it. God is tired of it. God is tired of this place that has a building supposed to be dedicated to God, and they won't even receive the prophets of God. Yeah. I hope God never get tired of me. I know, you know what, he's had some opportunities to get tired of my foolishness. I hope God never gets tired of us. You know, have your kids ever just tried you? You know what I mean when I say try you. They work on your patience. You know, you try to be patient, and you're trying to teach them. And most of us, we try the nice way first. Baby, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you give them a chore? And did you do what I asked you to do? And some of them will say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and they haven't even done it. Some of them will just lie to you and tell you. And some of them will say, some will just say, no, I haven't done it yet. And you just get, after a while, you just get tired. I mean, how long do you be nice? How long do you tolerate? How long do you just put up and be patient and you try to teach them and you try to console them? How long? And all of us have a breaking point, don't we? Amen. Amen. Yeah. And our great God in heaven has demonstrated long suffering all throughout the scripture. And can we say God is good? Yeah. God is more patient than we are. He is. He really is. Because, you know, I know God is patient. I asked the Lord for forgiveness. Should you have to tell your parents every day, I'm sorry? Because I didn't do, I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm trying. And you do it every day. I know I didn't do that every day. Because I don't think my parents would have put up with me saying, I'm sorry. No, you're not sorry. You did it yesterday. But I think about, I ask the Lord for forgiveness every day. I do. Well, Brother, why you have to ask the Lord for forgiveness every day? Amen. Yeah. It's private. Amen. You got any privacies? Amen. It's private. Amen. Yeah. But did you not know that God has a breaking point? Yeah. And in Matthew 24... Jesus is close to the end of his, he know he's close to the cross. And you know, when you know what you know, and then somebody comes along and act like nothing. Jesus, look at the temple. Isn't it beautiful? And Jesus know everybody that's in there. Amen. Ain't nothing but the devil. And so he says, go back to the text. Verse 4. This was Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said to him, "See to it that no one misleads you." Now they asked Jesus about when were these things. Jesus, what are you talking about? When were the stones, everything's going to be torn down? When is it? They asked him two things. When would this happen? Then they asked him, and what will be the sign of your coming? Notice now. Now, so some people misinterpret this passage because they say that it's all about these signs that the world, Jesus is coming again. And in this particular text, you have to read the whole. I know I don't have time to go through it all. Jesus prophesies about the destruction of this physical temple. But he also intermingles in this text. He intermingles with them what about his second coming. And some people misinterpret because they say these signs, as this brother was telling me yesterday, man, you got hurricanes out there. You had an earthquake in Mexico. You got brush fires in California. Jesus is about to come. And I just thought, you know, we as Christians, we don't need to be ignorant of God's words, but we need to know what God teaches, and we don't need to be anxious. But at the same time, we need to be on alert. Because God didn't leave us without a word on what's happening in the world. And here Jesus says, as Brother Spriggs read beginning at verse number 4, Jesus asked and said to them, "See to that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ.'" Many have already come in the Lord's name saying they are the Christ. And so that tells us as saints, first of all, don't be naive. Study the word of God. Listen to God's word so you're not misled by false Christ, a false doctrine. Everybody that talks about the Lord is not necessarily from the Lord or of the Lord. And so that tells us, I mean, as Christian, you listen to somebody. I mean, I give people respect and I listen, but you got to go back to this Bible to know what thus said the Lord. And Jesus says, many will come and will mislead many. That's the people that will be misled are those that won't study themselves. Yeah. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, it says, and notices this hadn't just started. There have been wars throughout history. Yes, President Trump and South Korean president, the dictator, they are arguing, and it's just like little kids. And yes, they have their fingers on the button, and yes, they can press the button and the nuclear war. That hadn't just started. We've had crazy leaders in the past, and there have been many, many wars. And then there is talk of war always. And it happened in their day. Jesus, as he spoke to them, he says, "See that you are not frightened." I'm going to tell you something. You know, I watch CNN every now and then, and I just get sick of it. I do. I like to keep up with the news, but, they are just, you know. And you watch it, you watch this stuff, and it does almost make you anxious. And you say, what's going to happen? Are they going to blow the world up? Well, Jesus said, don't be frightened. You don't walk around scared and nervous. And I'll tell you what, I hope they don't do anything crazy. But God does not want us to live faith in this life. He says, for those things must take place, but that is not the end yet. That's what Jesus told them. Listen, this is almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus told them, that is not the end yet. But one thing we do know, that we are closer to the end than they were. Because time has transpired. So it's always a word from the Lord. We are closer. And church, Christians, saints, visitors, guests, whoever you are, there will be an end to this world. Bible talks about it. And, you know, so as we prepare, as we plan our lives and we plan our careers and we look for our husband and we look for our wives and we look for a job, look knowing that it won't last. I'm trying to find a good school for my child, good researching, but no, that's not the end. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And so we put life in perspective. And remember what's really most important. Let's skip a few verses. Go down to Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. So Jesus, he says, first of all, disciples, you asked me this question, I'm going to give you the answer. But he says, first of all, don't be misled. Don't be naive. He says, there's one thing many folk will always say. They'll say they're from me and we've had all these predictions on when the world was going to end and they've come and they've gone. He says, I don't want you walking around living anxious lives and worrying about when exactly is the end. He says, then he says to the saints, especially his apostles, then they will deliver you to tribulation. He's talking to the apostles and kill you. And you will be hated by all the nations because of my name. And only, I believe, two of the apostles of Jesus do we know how they died according to the Bible. Well, we know Judas hanged himself. One of the apostles. And then we know that James, that Herod had him killed. Let's go there quickly. Acts 12:1. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Now Jesus prophesied. He predicted. He says, you're going to be in tribulation because he gave them the great commission to go out and preach and teach the gospel to all the nation. And you know, he says, you're going to be abused because of that. He says, and notice, and you have to look at secular history, but there are some good accounts to tell you some of the things that happened to some of the apostles that I believe just because of there's so many accounts of them. A couple of them we're not really sure about. But you know what? When God says something, when Jesus says something, it's going to happen. Amen. Much of it has already happened. He told them, you're going to go through tribulation and they will kill you. We know that James was killed. Listen to what he said. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say exactly when Peter was killed. But let me read a text, if you will, in John chapter 21, verse 18. John 21, verse 18. Truly, truly, this is Jesus. I say to you, talking to Peter, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now, notice then verse 19. Now, this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. He's talking to Peter, and if you read secular accounts of Peter's, they say that Peter was also crucified. But because he didn't want to be associated, he didn't think he was worthy to be crucified like the Savior was, they crucified him upside down. And you know, in the crucifixion, you have to stretch your hands. And Jesus predicts, you're going to bring glory to me by dying a death, that somebody going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. So when we get, Brother Gary, that's so gory. Only reason why I mention it is to remind us that God is still God. Yes. Jesus, when he utters words, they come to pass. So they asked Jesus what these things meant. What will happen in the end? And Jesus does not sugarcoat the truth. He tells them the truth. Lord have mercy. Let's keep reading. Go back to your text. You still with me? It says, you will be hated by all the nations. We're in verse 9. Because of my name. He says, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Now, this is in the apostles' time. Listen, you know, when you stand for what's right, even in your own family, when you stand for what's right and you are consistent in your beliefs, in your practices, some people don't like that. Some people on your job don't like you praying. They don't like that you trying to raise your family and your children, and you, before you eat, everybody else at the house, listen, you say, hold up, no, we're going to pray. But we eat, and you're like, there he go again. Some people don't like that you believe that all the saved are in one body. You're not necessarily dogmatic with it, but it's just the truth that God wants everybody to be in his one body. And when you say that, what are you talking about? People get mad. And some go further than that and they will hate you. Oh, they hated the apostles. They hated the apostles. You're taking away Judaism. You're taking away our sacrifices. You're taking away temple worship, things that we used to do, things that we grew up with. And you're saying, now we have to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week and every week. Amen. Why are you changing things? Jesus changed things. Amen. And they stood for him. Says you're going to be hated. These verse 11, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. False prophets mean those who proclaim false teaching. Says because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Then in verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he's going to be saved. Yeah. Yeah. You ever just get tired? You know, sometimes you get tired of being consistent. You get tired of saying, we need to do what's right. You get tired of the conflict. You get tired of the disagreement. You get tired of I'm telling you. Sometimes I get tired of studying. You know, not so much that I don't want to study. It's just I just get tired. I just want to. You know, sometimes you just want to rest. I mean, have some true rest. Rest from problems. Rest from issues. And you could tell that at this particular time in Jesus' ministry, you could tell, if you study the last week of it, you could tell that he was getting tired. Jesus was. But he was pushing to the end. And you know, when somebody's criticizing you all the time, you don't think that gets tiring? Yeah. And he reminds us, he says, you endure. And he says, to the end. Amen. Yeah, so I get tired sometimes, but you know what? I just keep pressing on here, and the Lord re-energizes me. Thank the Lord. That's why I don't want to miss no Sundays. Amen, somebody. Yeah, I don't want to miss. You know, when the storm came and we couldn't come here. We was trying to get the telephone lines, and telephone line went out. We went Facebook Live. And a few of us were able to. I don't want to miss a Sunday, because I tell you, the devil is busy, isn't he? Devil will suck all the life out of you. Yeah. So I need my gasoline. I need it. I'm sure you need it also. This gospel, verse 14, I'm going to end on time. This gospel of the kingdom, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world. Notice this. See, Jesus is explaining to them what it's going to look like when these stones come down, and what it's going to look like before he said, this gospel will be preached in the whole world. not a terror as a testimony. In other words, nobody nowhere will be able to say they have not had the opportunity to hear the gospel before the end comes. And we used to say, you know, I used to hear it a while back. A lot of people say, well, but what about people that have never heard? They're going to hear. And a lot of them now, because of technology, because of many things, a lot of them are hearing. A lot of them, more people know about God now than they knew in the past. So that excuse is going to be taken away, if it's not already taken away. Yeah. Then he says, and then the end will come. Then the end will come. Yeah. And so one of the things that we know will happen will be that the whole world would have had an opportunity to hear the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's why we're charged to teach and preach the gospel. Then drop down to verse number 27 as we try to. I'm not exegeting all of this, but he says to the question, what will be the sign of your coming? But just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Is Jesus, and so I'm sure I would have loved to hear this conversation with Jesus. Been there and he's teaching and telling them, and he's on the Mount of Olives and he's teaching them. He says, like the lightning comes from the east to the west, it will be similar. It will be similar to when I come back. And so then drop down to verse 30. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. The 12 tribes. Tribes of Jacob, all the seeds of the earth, every corner of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Yeah. It will be snap quick. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. I wish I could read all of it. He says, in the moment. Everybody blink your eyes real quick. That's how quick it'll be. A flash from east to west. Every eye. It won't matter. It won't matter. You know, like we have the time cycles, the central time, eastern time, Pacific coast. Don't matter the cycle. When Florida sees it, we'll see it. Yeah. Now, Jesus doesn't give us every detail. He says, go back to the text. He says, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. What is that? What will that be? And that's why some things we know. And when you study, I was young, I said, is God up somewhere? He's up somewhere. Now, he's everywhere. But we know Jesus ascended up when he left earth. And he is going to descend. So that is going to be up. We know the sign will be up in the sky somewhere. Everybody will be. Can you? I wish you could take a picture right now of everybody looking up. It's like God that says, I'm going to take your attention off of whatever you're doing. I don't care where you are, you're going to look up. We all will look up. Now, they asked Jesus this question, and Jesus is answering it. And he says, now notice, he said, all the tribes were mourned. The question is, will our tears be tears of You know, two ways you cry, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I married one of my daughters, I was fighting everything I could to not cry. You know, to not cry. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to cry tears of joy. Woo, tears of sadness. But the scripture say now, at this particular time, if some of us are here, some of us might not be here. But even if we're not here, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise. Yes, first. And so Jesus answers these questions. But some of us, all of us will mourn. And I could see both ways. I really can. I could see both ways. Because see, now that's why we study this, because it gives us even more hope and it helps us to understand when it happens. But imagine people who have not studied God. And imagine the panic. Imagine the turmoil. Imagine the I don't know. And if you don't know, Lord have mercy. But for those of us that's in Christ, those of us that's been pulling and trying and laboring and praying to God for an answer, praying to God for relief.
Amen.
Yeah. 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 Verse 31. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. So a sign of God, of Jesus will appear in the sky. Everybody will see, notice this, we will see Jesus and we will know who he is. The angels will be there. The trump will sound and they will gather. Notice, the angels will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Oh, yeah. The producers of these movies, they real good. They can make some serious special effects, but this won't be movie time. No producer. No technology. It's all God, and he doesn't need any assistance for this. And his angels will gather his elect from everywhere. All the four winds. See, it won't be just black folk. It won't be just white folk. It won't be just Chinese folk. I mean, they're going to be saved folk from all over the world.
Amen.
Amen. Those that have been baptized into Jesus Christ, those that have obeyed this gospel of Jesus Christ, those that have lived righteous lives, he's gonna gather them up. See, now we know, now notice this now. And see, this is beautiful about the word of God. Is see, we know that there is but one judgment day. But you know what? The moment we die, for those of us that are gonna be here when Jesus come, you gonna know that you're gonna be with Christ. Because you know you're gathered up in that number.
Amen.
Notice this, everybody not going to be gathered up.
Amen.
Only his elect.
Amen.
Will be gathered up. The scripture would say that when we're gathered up, our mortal bodies will turn, it's like we're going to change bodies.
Amen.
And at that moment, you will know that you are right with God.
Amen.
Oh, that mercy. Mm. Yeah, sometimes you be careful what you ask for.
Amen.
Yeah. I wonder what those disciples were feeling then. I'm gonna tell you something. When you made the decision that you're gonna follow God, it should should have driven them even more. I'm staying in Christ.
Amen.
I'm staying with God. I'm gonna do God's will. And then in verse 34, Matthew 24:34, He says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass until these things take to pass. That's why we know that part of his explanation was about the temple, the physical temple. It was destroyed in AD 70. It was an occasion that many scholars have written about. Josephus, who is the Jewish historian, well respected, he actually lived during the time of the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem. And he wrote extensively about it, that there was none occasion that there was so much brutalness. You remember God predicted that the Jews, that he was going to wipe them out. The Romans, Titus, not the Titus, the preacher in the Bible, Titus, who was the ascendant of Nero, he was the concluding ruler who destroyed the Jews. That was this Jewish revolt. It happened in AD 66, but it ended in AD 7, right after the Passover, when over 600,000 Jews were there in Jerusalem. They destroyed that city, starved them to death, had mercy on nobody. They were all killed. They burned that temple. And not a stone was left, just as Jesus predicted. And Jesus told them, this generation that's here right now won't pass away until it happens. And it happened the way Jesus said it. So some of the signs that Jesus was giving them, he says, one of you going to be on a rooftop. And that only happened in Jewish times, because they had flat roofs. You know, somebody, we can't hardly stand on our roofs today. One will be taken, the other will be left. And so he's talking about the destruction of Jews. Then drop down to verse 36, and we're going to end. Matthew 24:36. So Jesus was talking about, he told them how this temple was going to be destroyed. But he also told them about his second coming. And then he gives them these details, and this is why we can be assured, and we need to stop trying to guess when the Lord comes. They're having hurricanes, we're having storms, but this is not the first hurricane. And if we keep living, it won't be the last hurricane. But he says, but of that day, this is Jesus talking, and that hour nobody knows, no one knows. What day is that? That's the day that Jesus comes. He talks about some things that will come to pass and things that must come to pass before the end of time. But he says, of the exact day, nobody knows, not even the angels of heaven. Amen. He says, nor the Son, that includes him, but the Father alone. Amen. Then he says, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Well, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Yeah. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Amen. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Notice verse 39. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. He says, you know what? In Noah's day, Noah had been preaching, teaching just like we're doing today, and teaching with the word of God and telling people that you need to get ready. God is going to take God. Noah was telling them what God was going to do. And they were listening, some were listening, but most of them were not listening at all. And even to that day, they were eating, they were planning weddings, they were doing everything that they were doing until the waters, notice this, and you know what, when the water first started raining, it wasn't a flood as soon as it started. Some of them probably didn't believe when it started raining. But that didn't stop the rain from coming, because they didn't believe. And then he goes on to say, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And so, in verse number 42, he says, therefore, be on alert, for you do not know which day the Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will come. And the church said, amen. Yeah, I was reading that, and it says the Lord is going to come when you don't think. At a time when you don't think, you know, of course, the human, and especially me, I say, well, when might they see? You know, we all want to know. We just knows. And I start thinking, I say, well, when might that be? But wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good if the Lord came on a Sunday? I just, you know, that was just me, because I said, I hope the Lord comes when all the saints are together. But the reality is, he probably not. But we don't know, do we? But it would be good if we was in here with our Bibles in our hands. It'd be good if the Lord came when we was taking the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
Because, you know, your mind is on Jesus Christ, and you know, you feel. It'd be good when God comes after I make my confession, after I get baptized. But the truth is, we don't know, do we?
Amen.
Because he might come when I'm talking bad to my wife. Time is too short, church.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might come. He might catch us when you're doing something. I say, Lord, please. Because see, some, you think about it. You seal your fate if you caught in doing the wrong thing when the Lord comes. Truly what the scripture said is he's going to come at a time that you not expect him. Because what thief rings the bell and announces, I will be breaking in your house on Tuesday? And it humbled me. It did. It humbled me. And so it humbled me. As I was studying this, I said, Lord, you know, it humbled me. You know what? I, as a father, you know, I need to not provoke my children to wrath. I don't want the Lord to come when I'm tired and I'm taking it out on my kids. Now, I don't want the Lord to catch me. You know, sometimes people walk up on you and you fussing and you're I was. I don't want the Lord to come when I'm having a hateful thought about somebody. I want the Lord to come when one of these habits I've been making all these excuses about. So if you're here today and you're not in Christ Jesus, you need to be. It's where our protection is. It's where our safety is. It's where our forgiveness is. It's where our mercy is. It's where our grace. Anybody gonna need some grace? It's where our grace is. And you come to the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when it boils down to it, as Jesus got so disgusted with the Jews, they really would not accept him for who he was. They didn't want to give him the glory. They didn't want to believe what he said. They didn't want to follow his will.
Amen.
And we must believe that Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
You must be willing to repent of your sins, acknowledge that we have sinned, acknowledge that we need a Savior to save us from our sins. You can't save yourself. We can't live a perfect. I thank God that he has a system whereby he continues to forgive me of all of my sins. I thank God. That's my only hope. That's my only chance. You must confess and not be ashamed that you're a Christian. acknowledged who Jesus Christ is, and you're willing to share that with anybody, I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And if you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Yeah, you don't have to die on the cross.
Amen.
You don't have to be nailed to the cross.
Amen.
But you have to be buried in water.
Amen.
For the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Amen.
And if we're faithful and if we endure to the end, to the very end, and when the Bible talks about the end, we're talking about the end of this existence. See, we're not talking about the end, period, because for us, the soul never dies. And there is eternal punishment, and there is eternal life. So he said, when he's talking about to the, we're talking about to the end of our existence now. And if you just endure, if you hold on to God, and you hold on to his word to the end, that's who's going to be saved. Somebody need to be saved. Somebody need to acknowledge Jesus Christ. Somebody need to ask for prayer. Come right now as we stand.
In my heart, sometimes I wonder,
yes,
as down.